Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello friends. We've got a piss funny episode for you now, which was recorded live back in front of a particularly beautiful real life audience at the Leicester Comedy Festival back in February. My guests were Leicester Golden Boy and Bake Off finalist, the absolutely glorious poppet that is Chigs, and my dear mate, the extraordinary stand-up Jen Brister. First things first, we better get a bit of admin under our belt. I'd like you to come see my new show, Wench. It is going to be at the Edinburgh Festival for the whole of August at 4:45 in the Monkey Barrel. Please come. And then I'm taking it on tour all around the land, hopefully somewhere near your home. New dates are being announced very soon, excitingly in Dorset, where I'm from, in Dorchester, and also in Salisbury. So keep an eye out on my social media, at Jessica Fostercue, for more news on those things. And for tickets to all of the tour shows, just go to my website, jessicafostercue.com, or Google Little Wonder, as in wandering around with an A. And they are who is touring me, and so the list is always on their website as well. I would absolutely love to have you come and see the show. I'm still working it up as I speak and you listen, and it's shaping up. It's beginning to shape up at last. Thanks for listening to Hoovering. Give it a 5-star review if you want. I mean, just do it, even if you don't. Just do it. Could you just do that? Subscribe to it. Tell people about it. If you've got spare money, you can help me out by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. It's thank you so much if you're my patron, by the way. You're the reason I can pay guests. You're the reason I can do exciting things like travel the podcast and take risks putting on live shows, get exciting food on the podcast, have adventures, etc., etc. If you go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod, you'll see all the sorts of things I will swap you in exchange for as little as £2 a month, including guest recipes, discounts to live shows, and loads of exclusive content. As you're about to hear at the very end of this podcast, this particular episode has inspired me to make some content with recipes and the recipe traditional twisting ideas that these absolutely brilliant guests come up with live in front of me at us. We met upstairs in Peter Pizzeria in Leicester, which if you're ever in Leicester and pizza hunting, I don't think you could do much better, to be honest. It was flipping delish. This isn't an advert, by the way. Nothing that we ate was gifted to us, so we were able to be totally honest about the food. It was just fucking lush. I ate half my pizza because I had to keep talking. I couldn't get it all down me. So I had half left over and I ate that as a midnight snack. And it was just as scrummy like that as well, for the record. Right, let's get stuck in.
Please welcome to the Hoovering Podcast Live. Lovely clappers and whoopers you are. What a treat for us. It's lovely to meet you. My name's Jess. I'll introduce my guests in a minute and I'll get them to introduce themselves. We are at the Leicester Comedy Festival and we are in Peter Pizzeria. And yes, we in the middle of some fit pizzas. And I heard someone on the way in saying, you are not allowed a pizza up here. Get fucked. Someone smuggled one, I can see, under a chair. Strict instructions not to touch it. Oh, fuck them. My only problem is if you touch it, I'm worried you'll get mobbed. But, I mean, if there's any leftovers, we'll share. And that's all I think we'll sell it enough that you'll need a pizza after. And this is the Hoovering Podcast. So there's a cheer if you've heard of it. Anybody who hasn't? Yes! Oh my God, thanks so much for coming. It could have been anything. It's not about cleaning. So it's a podcast about eating, but I called it hoovering. This is one of my favourite words for eating because I love the sort of... that's how I mainly eat. It's lovely to meet you. Welcome. It's just another fucking comedian with a podcast, really. this one... Eating happens during it. We'll talk about that. And when I do a live show like this is, you're here, which is so nice. And your laughter, or silence, if you're a bastard, will be on the end podcast. I don't know if there's anything else to explain, really. I'm so sorry you weren't allowed to bring it. Does anybody smuggled in a snack? No, not that you're going to admit, now that we know the police. Hand went up.
But I'm diabetic, I always...
You need... Absolutely, actually. You actually literally do. Did you smuggle a snack in? What have you got? Load of toffees. Just sort of Highland toffee. Talk to me. Cheap toffee. Delicious. Lovely. I'd bloody love to hear it. Hey, welcome. No one even noticed. Please come in. Just sort of talking everybody through what it is, but I'm assuming do you already know what it is? Great. And this comedy festival has got so good. Give us a cheer if you've seen anything else at the festival yet. Yeah. Oh, give us a cheer if it's good. Yeah. Give us a cheer if you're going to see other things. Yeah. Are you going to see Jen's show or my show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Jen, that is heartbreaking.
That Venn diagram is very small.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, anyway, really, 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 really massive welcome. I'm glad some of you are aware of the podcast. I might at the end do something really eggy where I make you say a bit that I always say. Yay, thank you, yeah. Great. I'm going to get my... I'm very lucky to have some fucking great guests here. And welcome, by the way, if you're streaming this. But welcome even more if you're actually here. guests, please may you say who you are and what you are. Chicks, you can go first. And you have to talk right into this microphone as eggy as that feels, sorry.
Right, then you're probably thinking who this weirdo is in the middle. I'm Chicks from Bake Off from this year. Thank you.
From Bake Off and from Leicester, right?
And from Leicester, yes, as well, born and bred.
I like that Chig says you're probably wondering who I am, the man that's been on television for the last 10 weeks, one of the most popular shows on television. Who? You're probably wondering who I am. No, you're probably wondering who I am, the woman who's been doing stand-up comedy for 20 years. But fuck you, Chigs! Fuck you, mate! All right?
Soz.
I'm Jen Brister and I'm a comedian.
Amazing. So we've got some pizzas. We might as well. We're in a pizza place. Have some pizzas. We've tried them before it all kicked off. Let's I want your thoughts on the pizzas you've tried so far out of these, which please do feel free to keep eating as we chat over the next hour. But also, let me know what your thoughts are on pizzas generally. I don't know how important pizzas are in your life. I don't know whether you're someone who's got, like, I think people can get quite tribal over their pizza feelings. And I want to know all your pizza feelings. And I'm not saying I desire a fight to start. If one does, we'll manage. Be one for the wank bank.
I don't mind, yeah. I don't mind going first. I love pizza.
Great to hear.
Thank you. I mean, what's so not to love? It's got everything I love. A bready bottom, lots of cheese.
Bready bottom. Don't hear that on Bake Off, do you?
You don't often hear that.
Nice. I hope Fred's got a nice bready bottom.
Happy to introduce that into the Bake Off vocabulary.
I really enjoy a pizza. But I will say, if I'm going to go out for dinner, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Okay.
Just because there's loads of other things I enjoy, but now, more recently, because of my children who have discovered pizza and it's their most favourite thing in the entire world, now when we have a pizza, it's like this occasion, it's like this huge event, and boy, do they love pizza. Yeah. So now I've got like, now I associate having pizza with my kids, which is both really, it's like a really lovely feeling, but also gives me indigestion. I think anyone will have, who has kids will be like, yeah, I feel you, yeah, I feel
stress.
You.
I was going to ask you that later, like I really have exactly the same thing. Well, I don't know if actually if I'm about to say something quite different to what you said. If my son loves pizza so much that if I have it when he's not there, I have not, it's not guilt so much, I'm not that kind, but it's more a sense of like, oh, I mean, he'd have loved this. And it feels like I'm like, oh, I should have saved that to do when I was with him.
Like you're cheating.
There are limited things you can do with them that
they
they'll
enjoy.
Maybe sit there and behave like someone you'd want to have dinner with. So it sort of feels like a bit of a waste to have pizza without them there.
Yeah, also it's one of the few meals that you can introduce to, they don't go, oh, I hate this, oh, this tastes like poo, oh. You know, you think, oh, I'm going to feed you now. You will eat and I know that you will be full and I feel good as a parent.
Maybe it's one of the reasons why Italian families sometimes at least portray themselves as being quite smug about child behaviour in restaurants. Do you know what I mean? Italian people are like, oh, you know, don't eat a lemon without chili, you know. You know how children behave, you know, and it's like, yeah, because you're giving them fucking pizza every day. So no wonder they've behaved nicely.
Exactly, if you're having pizza and pasta every day, of course, it's happy days. Yeah, trying to stick a vegetable down the gob. Good luck.
What Giuseppe's like, though, when we saw Giuseppe for the first time, was baking pizza for his kids. That's why his kids are always happy, because he has pizza every day.
Pizza every day, yeah, and Giuseppe's cakes and things as well.
Exactly.
Glorious. Tell me how you feel about pizza, Chigs.
Pizza's my favourite food ever.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It's like its own group. No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean it.
It's
like a food group on its own. So
yeah, it is. It's got everything covered.
Savoury ones. I got given a pizza oven for free after Bake Off, so I can always start using it.
Oh. Where do you put a pizza oven? I mean, they're massive. Where does it go?
It's like a smaller one.
Is it an Uni?
Can I say the name?
Yeah, of course you can.
It's a Gosney one.
It's a Gosney one.
Oh, look
at
everyone going, oh, yeah, that's it. That's the one I've got at home, that is mine, yeah. What are you talking about? None of you have got pizza ovens.
So, Giuseppe and Jürgen got an... is it Uni or Uni?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got given one of those ones for free and I got a Gosney one for free.
And you got what you're saying is a better one.
Oh, I personally...
Yeah.
I can't wait to use that over summer.
I'm a bit jealous that I think I want a free pizza oven. Just put that in the world.
Just put it out there and you will receive, mate.
That's how it works, yeah. Probably self-poverty like that. More people are putting it out there. What they want. Guys. Me for Prime Minister. you woo, but...
we woo about pressure. Anything, mate. You could be like, a turd for Prime Minister. Woo!
I'm in my tongue.
Okay, let's get into some silly questions. When was the last time you ate something and thought, wow, that's just changed my life forever? Either in a good way or in a bad way.
Oh, wow. When was that? What? As in changed my life forever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't
know.
Take
your time, because I'm going to eat this.
I think, I'll tell you what, I never really understood noodles.
Oh.
No, bear with me.
What they are, they're sort of... what are they? And what do you do with them?
And then I was in Singapore.
Pizza oven, Singapore.
This is the most middle class podcast that exists. I had these noodles, and it was made with like a roasted chicken, but it was in this like night market. You know those night markets that they have. They've got where you go out, you can just eat one, just load it with nice food. And I've literally never had. That was like the nicest meal I think I've ever had in my life. I don't know chicken what they did noodles. To those noodles. Like they were handmade noodles with like a roasted chicken, which had been roasted on a spit, and lots of whatever sort of Malay herbs on it or whatever seasoning. Oh my days!
Really?
Oh my days! And every now and again, I think I'm gonna make myself some chicken noodles because I want to repeat that.
Yeah,
and it's no, never again. It's nothing like. And have you ever had? Any, do you have like chicken noodles? Like when you have chicken noodles in this country,
we've all had
look at everyone's faces.
Chicken super noodles are nice.
Chicken super noodles are nice. They're fucking great.
One a day for a year as a student.
Yeah, of course. Lunch but if you go day. Sometimes to a takeaway Chinese restaurant and you order chicken noodles, it's like the disappointment is intense.
Yeah,
it's heartbreaking. Yeah. So I would go back to Singapore literally just for chicken noodles, even though I don't really eat chicken anymore. But I would on this occasion.
Yeah. Love to hear it.
God, anything what a story, guys.
No,
take that
I
home
love
with you.
It. No, it's really like, it's so, and as you were saying it, I was thinking of things. I don't think I remember the first, I don't think a noodle's ever changed my life. But I vaguely aroused by the description of the noodles. I fucking love a chicken noodle. I'd love to go to Singapore.
Handmade noodle. Yeah. Like it's been made that day. They're fresh.
I have had that, but I had it in this so I think to be like in a night market in Singapore is very fucking cool. I was in Elephant and Castle in a bougie wankers kind of one of those places where like everything's 50 quid for like, you know, a hand cuddled peanut. Like it's bullshit. But there's lots of interesting and delicious food there. And I had hand pulled noodles from Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan.
As if I wasn't already
noodles.
A big enough wanker. But they were amazing. But it was something to do with how the chili was infused in the oil and you didn't know this heat was gonna be there, and then at the very end of the mouthful, you know, like you're like, oh, and I've done and I've swallowed it, you know, bye bye. That's the end of that experience. And then you're like, oh, what's happening here? Like, and it's just that. It's like, I like being hit by heat by stealth after the fact, like that.
Yeah.
It creeps up to you.
Yeah.
Depends on how much heat, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
What's changed my life? Where's that restaurant we went to eat when we were at Mykonos, Adam?
Zuba.
No, so we went to Mykonos in September.
Nice.
And oh my God, this food was unbelievable. Yeah. We had sushi, there's that black cod thing. What else was there? I'm checking you, Luke, now.
I was too busy dancing.
Luke was off his nuts, chick. Stop asking Luke. I like lots of black-eyed cod.
It's like a bit of cod that's been blackened, but it just tasted unbelievable. But the thing that... I always get happy about eating it.
I thought someone had punched a cod. Your mum's...
My mum's lamb curry is the thing that just puts a smile on my face every single time.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm into it. It's delicious. Do you know, is the recipe secret?
No, I've got it now.
Have you? Yeah, I like that.
I've got it now. It's
well, good, because are we allowed to say you're
gonna
putting
be in
a book together?
It's
yeah.
going to be in my book
Great.
When it comes out.
Get in. That sounds amazing. And can I ask, I just want a bit more detail on this curry before we move on. I know I won't be allowed the secret recipe, and I don't want it because I want to buy a book. But is it sort of curry that you, it takes a long, is it sort of long and slow?
Slow cook, yeah. Like the food that you get in Indian restaurants is not the same kind of food you get at home.
No.
Because if I went to my mum and said, can you make me a jalfrezi? She said, no, you're getting a curry, shut up.
Right.
It's just a curry.
Right.
It's all these different names you get for it now. It's all rubbish.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's just a curry.
Or lamb curry, or chicken curry, or fish curry, or prawn curry.
Oh, yeah, yum, yum, yum. Lester does curry very well, generally.
Very well.
Big shout out to Kyle. And Herb. I think it just gets shortened to Herb, doesn't it? If you like cool and local. Okay, so this is obviously a pizza party. I would love to know anything you particularly remember having eaten at any other party from any point in your life.
Have you ever eaten anything? Wow, that is such a broad question. Any food you've had at any party in your life? Yeah. Fucking hell. Let's narrow it down.
Sometimes I interview children on this and they won't have had such a long life to remember from. I'm trying to keep it broad. I'm hoping for long answers so I get a chance to eat a bit more of this.
A bit more of your pizza. Do you want to go first?
The last party you had chicken nuggets, chips and beans.
Yes, as an adult.
Yeah, as an adult, yeah. It was a kid's party, but...
Oh, right.
Bianca special.
I thought you were going to tell us that you had your 30th in McDonald's.
Do you remember those
Burger
though?
Burger King, where you get the little paper crown. I was going to call it helmet.
I used to love King's those helmet. If you went to a birthday party and then you got taken to McDonald's, because I was never allowed to go to McDonald's as a kid, so that was like
too
a real... Oh my God, it was way too posh. We were a wimpy family. Do you remember Wimpy? Fucking what a bleak time that was. No, but you can't get a Knickerbocker Glory in McDonald's and you couldn't in Wimpy. Oh, happy days. But I remember ordering, that was it, it was a friend's birthday party and we'd been ice skating. Can you imagine? We were losing our fucking minds. We went ice skating, we were giddy because we knew we were going to go to McDonald's afterwards. We just thought, Could life get any better? Probably not. And I had been to McDonald's maybe like once or twice before where I was only allowed to have a cheeseburger. That's all I was allowed to have because I was young. I mean, my mum's like, that'll fill you up. You just need a cheeseburger. But I was at this party and was like, I'm going to have a Big Mac.
Went all out.
Oh, yeah, you feel me.
I remember it. The first
Mum's
time
not
you
here
got to choose,
take your
now, some adult choosing for you.
And also, the other parents weren't like, you can't, you can only have a cheeseburger. And they were like, yeah, if you want a Big Mac, have a Big Mac. I was like, so I ordered this Big Mac with a chocolate milkshake and medium fries. Because this girl knows how to live.
Yeah.
And I hate the Big Mac.
Oh, no.
But it's too much.
Okay.
Oh, Jen. It's way too much for me.
You've lost me there.
Bearing in mind, I was like 9. And I threw up. Oh, that's really sweet of you. Oh, poor 9-year-old Jen. I threw up, and that was not in front of everyone. I had to go to the toilet and throw up, and then I couldn't really look at a Big Mac for a really long time. And you have really lost respect for me, and I wish I hadn't told that story.
No.
Okay, fine.
No, I mean, I just was checking the time to wonder how far in we got to the podcast before I sort of carried on talking about the sick bit on the podcast about eating, but I think the milkshake bit makes me justify the that you got, because I think it's one of the milkshake and ice cream is probably the worst thing you can yak up if it's still cold when it comes
also,
back.
Also, that is it true?
Just in case any of you are feeling peckish and jealous of the pizza.
I used to work at McDonald's and should never drink milkshakes because
why? I worked at McDonald's as well. Fast forward 7 years, and I worked at McDonald's, and then I realised you should never have the milkshakes.
Well,
we need
to talk about why. They're never going to sponsor this fucking podcast, are they?
It's made out of potatoes.
And the machine, like...
They never clean it. No wonder it's so yummy. It's sugar chips.
It doesn't get cleaned properly.
It's never cleaned.
Imagine all the mouldy milk in the pipes and stuff like that.
It's all that green. You're like, a bit of that's just gone through. Oh, right. There we go.
And the milk's in a massive churn at the back and you carry it around. It splashes everywhere.
And it's not, whatever it is, it's not chocolate. What is it?
It's not.
I don't know. It's brown flavour, isn't it?
Brown.
Would you like a brown flavoured ice cream?
Wow.
But I'd still have one now.
She'll have a large one now, won't you?
Come on.
No, don't, Jen. I wouldn't want you to get full.
I don't want to be sick. I knew it. This will...
I'm not letting her let
you live
that down.
We're all laughing about it now.
9 years old and couldn't fucking manage a Big Mac. What are you, a borrower? Grow up.
Told you. This is going to go
up.
This
Glad
will go
I wasn't
on for
at
years.
That party.
I'm going to take this opportunity while you roast me to eat some pizza.
Say scrum diddly umptious.
No.
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
So Jen has already done this podcast a long time ago. We did a normal sort of one-to-one one, but you haven't, Chig. So I'm going to ask you a question just for you, okay. Which is, I would love to know, please, about eating growing up for you. You already mentioned your mum's lamb curry, but what was eating like as a kid for you? Let me start from the beginning. Were you fussy? Was stuff being cooked from scratch for you? Were you interested in cooking? All of it, please.
So I come from a massive foodie family from being a kid. And when I was a child, I can remember we weren't allowed to leave the table until we finished our plate.
Right.
So my mum used to get curry. Because I'm Indian, used to get curries all the time. And I couldn't finish my food. So like the chapatis and rotis, because I couldn't eat them all. I said, pick them up, rip them to pieces, put them in my pocket because I didn't want to eat it.
Oh.
And hide them under the seat covers and stuff like that. You'd go into the living room on the old settee, shove the chapatis on the side of them. And then when we got a new sofa, when they took the old one out, like all these dried up chapatis fell out the bottom of it. I was like, shit. And my mum and dad were looking at me at that time. I was like, where did all these come from? He's like, yeah, it was me. That's when I got told off. But like, yeah, I've been brought up with food, like my whole family. I learned how to cook when I was 10. I've always been intrigued with food, and that's where I am now. My grandma, my aunties, everyone, they all taught me how to
Everybody
cook from a young
into
age.
It. And yeah. did all the kids in your family, was it just sort of a rite of passage that you'd be sort of like welcomed into the kitchen at some point and shown your way around there?
Yeah, I think
it wasn't gendered or anything like that. It was just all in.
I just want to look over the pot.
Yeah.
Just stir it all. I've done my bit today.
And I might be wrong, but did I read right that you were relatively new to baking?
Yeah, I only started baking March last year.
That is what bizarre, isn't it? You absolute golden bollocks.
Yeah. I mean, I started.
That is amazing.
I want that to be your new name. Got golden bollocks on the podcast.
Because yeah. Superhero
loads,
name.
Cooked loads of food before, but never baked. But like, I only started taking it seriously from March onwards. And then my brother-in-law came over. You must have heard this story so many times. I'm sorry if you're hearing it again, because I've done it on every bloody interview. My brother-in-law and my sister came over to live because the house in London was getting renovated, and he brought some sourdough starter back. So I thought, let me start with this. And I started that. And then that led to cupcakes and then brownies. And then
cupcakes from sourdough starter.
No one starts on sourdough.
It's not a linear journey, I see. I'm so sorry. I've been reading this book about interrupting less and it's not working. Genuinely. Fuck.
And then I
sorry.
Started making pastry and stuff like that and making croissants.
Thanks for all that.
You've got friends here who get everything you
and then when
test,
I, and then I thought these lot of my mates and everyone just said, why don't you apply for Bake Off? I'm like, fuck off, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not ready for it. I thought, I ain't got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So my sister said, here's a link, apply. So then I applied, and then 2 days later I got a phone call saying that it's Kat from Bake Off, and I was like, no, he's fucking not, who's this? And I thought it was my friend Linda or Shaney or someone like that. I said, no, he's not. Who is this? And now he says, Kat from Bake Off. And I was like, oh my God. And he died. And I was like, oh shit, this is going real now.
Yeah.
And he interviewed me for about 45 minutes, asked me all these questions about baking and all this kind of stuff. And then I didn't get a phone call for about a month after that.
Oh, that's not very kind.
No, exactly. And so I've not made it through. And then I got another phone call, said, you got through to the next round. And said, what you need to do now is I'm not supposed to say this, but fuck, I'm going to say it. You need to make a biscuit selfie. And I was like, a biscuit selfie? I was like, what do you mean? He said, make a picture of yourself with a background at biscuit. And I was like, I've never done anything like this before. And he said, and then you need to make some sort of bread loaf as well. And then you get a Zoom meeting and you got to present it all. So there's a picture of me and the background was the Taj Mahal. Because you have to do, the background had to be something memorable to you. And I was the last place I went on holiday with my father before he passed away. And then, sorry to bring the mood down a little bit. And then after that, you had to present it, and I got through to the next round.
I love it. I said,
if you're through, you'll get a meeting with the executive producer. So then I got a phone call after that. And then about 4 weeks later, I got another phone call seeing you through to the next round.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is me getting nervous. And yeah. I think, oh, my God, this is getting real. I had to go to Northampton, bake a celebration cake. And I've never baked like a big cake.
Oh, is that like a whopper, basically?
Like a big cake before. I've never made anything like that before. I'm kind of impressed with what I actually did deliver. It was pretty cool, actually. The massive cake with a chocolate collar. And then you had to do my first technical challenge.
Oh, gosh. And these ones, I'm assuming, because they weren't on Zoom, they were tasting as well as looking.
Yes. So technical challenge, if you don't know, if you don't watch the show, is like something...
I mean,
something...
they watch the show, Chase, for sake. It's like the most popular show in the history of telly.
They don't tell you what you got to bake. So they said you got to make a Swiss, like a jam roly-poly. And luckily, that was in February. Luckily, in December, I made a Yule log and took it to Adam's house. It's like, shit, I know how to do this. Wicked. So then, you said you got an hour to do it. I did it in 45 minutes.
He smashed it!
And then I started cleaning my table down and the cameraman called. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm cleaning. He said, what are you doing that for? I said, if my mum saw me not cleaning after myself, she'd beat me. And then after that, I think it was about... a month after that, I found out that I actually got into the show, and then I had to lie down and think, shit, just got real now.
Yeah.
I've got to be on TV. And I started cacking myself.
And then you absolutely smashed that as well. Oh, what a lovely story. I'm into it.
Yeah, so that's it. That's my bake-off story.
I'm into it. Round of applause. I think this is a lovely story. I feel hashtag inspired. It's quite different, I think, cooking and baking. They're so potentially a bit more sciencey, but who fucking knows? Jen, I know you love cooking, but do you into baking at all?
I don't bake.
Good. Okay, quick question.
I have baked... Banana bread. Does that count?
Oh, fuck off.
Does that count? And I only seem to cook things that are in a loaf. So I've cooked a chocolate orange loaf. I haven't done anything else. I don't. It never occurs to me to bake anything.
I can feel a collab coming on.
Well, it would be the shittest collab. Yeah. Just be me watching you bake and then eating it going, yeah, this is absolutely the best.
Also, I mean, I think it says so much that your sort of journey started with somebody giving you some sourdough starters. They gave me, doing this podcast, people give me all sorts of things on the assumption that it might start something beautiful. I've killed three. I've just killed them.
What, sourdoughs?
Yeah. Starters. Oh. It's like a little, it's a living blob.
No.
And that's exactly what it is.
It's supposed to be quite hard to kill, but I've managed it.
Good you're girl. Supposed to, you're supposed to
feed it.
Yeah. I mean, what, how many times a day?
Like a
Once
gremlin.
Every day.
Once every day. I mean,
it is a blob.
You sprinkle it with water. You basically do the opposite of what you're meant to do with one of the creatures before it becomes a gremlin. Like, you do look at it after midnight, you do put water on it.
Right. Yeah. I'm out.
She's out.
It seems like a lot of work, and also I don't want to have to like massage and tend and feed and water and breastfeed a fucking yeast. And also I live in Brighton, so I don't need to grow sourdough. I just need to step out my door and then someone's got a loaf of sourdough.
And they're probably not feeding it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere,
you need to know that
Brighton.
All sourdough in Brighton is knocker fed.
I am having fun. I'd love to know, so I feel like this has happened to most people, hopefully this is less of a tricky question. Has there ever been a food that you didn't like that at some point during your life, your mouth just did a massive U-turn and you decided, actually, now I do?
Aubergines.
Ooh. Okay.
I absolutely hated aubergines as a kid. And my mum has always cooked with aubergines and she'd always foist them on us. And I think it's when you're a kid, the texture's not right about aubergines, is it? It's a little bit like snot or phlegm.
You can really fuck them up.
Aubergines
up there with my top, like...
Oh,
but for anybody streaming or listening to the podcast, a bird has flown in, but they've been treated kindly sort of cuddled and released back into the wild. And that's really what happened.
Hold up.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
I've forgotten what we were on
about. We're talking about aubergines.
So I love them so hard.
I love them now.
But I fuck them up a lot. Like if
what do
I
you do
ever try and cook them, like if I ever try and do them whole, they come out like a bit of the sort of the foam inside an old settee. Like if you, or if sometimes I think if they're a bit old and leathery, then if you don't, or if there's not enough oil, or if they weren't in for long enough, I think sometimes some aubergines, you can follow the recipe exactly, but they're cursed.
Yeah, I think some aubergines are cursed.
So I wonder
cursed.
Whether, if I was fed like that, like, you know, like setty aubergine as a kid, then I'd be like, this isn't for me. But every now and then, do you think, but it wasn't a case that they were well cooked. Your mum's a good cook, right?
Yeah, my mum's a really good cook. It wasn't that they weren't well cooked. It was just, I just didn't, they've got, and also the flavour, I don't know what it was. I just, yeah. I remember thinking I absolutely hated aubergines. And then I had an aubergine curry a lot later, maybe when I was in my mid-20s. And I was like, this is the stuff of dreams.
Okay.
And that was a, and then, and since then I cook with aubergines like every week. I have aubergines and anchovies. Yes, do it.
Okay,
you're welcome.
I'd love to hear that it was a curry that wooed you back round. Have you ever had a food you didn't like and then something just happened in your mouth? And
yeah, Marmite.
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 Oh, okay.
Let's get into it.
Didn't like it as a child.
So when I was a child, I went to my cousin's house and I saw a pot of Marmite there. Put my finger in it.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Did you think it was chocolate spread?
That's not how you have that.
I did that when I was a kid, thinking it was chocolate spread.
Literally yacked up in the kitchen.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yammed its wee.
It's quite strong, isn't it?
But now, on crumpets, can't beat it.
No.
Crumpets, butter, Marmite cheese under the grill.
Oh, yeah. Marmite and cheese.
Sorry, I feel like everything's moving a little bit too quickly. Slow down. Crumpet.
Shitload of butter.
Yeah, it's got to be proper
like
butter.
Yeah, like, proper
good.
Butter. Like a smidgen of Marmite everywhere. Not too much yet.
Smidgen of Marmite.
And then cheese.
And what cheese?
I'm Red Leicester. Get in there.
Of course.
And then just grill it.
Home crowd.
He's never not promoting this city. Do you know what I mean? He's never known.
He's
always
a local
on.
Treasure. He's a local and national. It's a national treasure. Okay, I'm going to try that. I've never tried that with Red Leicester.
Game changer.
I'd want something, I think, even like... Well, mind you, Marmite's so strong, you can go for a cheese that mild, actually. I've never had cheese on a crumpet.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that? There's actual intakes of breath over there.
Gasping.
What about this one? What about this one? Right, see how you feel about this, right? You do the crumpet, you do the butter, real butter, you do marmalade, and then you do cheese on top. Yeah. What?
Points of agreement.
Fuck off.
Marmalade and then cheese. What, cheddar?
I like a kind of a Swiss cheese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like it's quite a mild cheese with the marmalade.
Nutty.
It's like a nutty cheese. Oh my God, it will
there's rumblings. This has really split off the room. Jen, it's like Brexit again in here.
So 43% of you are with me.
The logic of it, my immediate response is go, get fucked. But
it's the sweet savoury.
Well, totally. And you'd have a chutney with a cheese board all day and all night. You'd have jams and jellies and shit with cheese in that context. So why not?
Why not a marmalade?
Why not? Try it with a bloody marmalade.
Try it. You might like it.
We need to open our tiny minds. And give that a whirl, perhaps. Is there anything you believe food-wise massively overrated?
When you say overrated, you mean something that's very popular that I just don't really get?
Yeah, you could go down that road with it. Things go in and out of fashion. I felt like there was a time where I was like, pulled pork is one that comes to mind. Stop fucking pulling everything. Stop shredding things and dipping them in sugar. I didn't get why everybody wanted everything. Fucking get your fucking pulled jackfruit out my...
pulling jackfruit, for fuck's sake.
Get off
slow it. Cooking the jackfruit. Go get fuck yourself. No, you're not. I don't know. Actually, now that you said pulled pork, that was definitely one thing. That was can I have something that you haven't pulled off something?
Tugged pork.
I think there's a reason they didn't market it as that. Anybody want any tugged pork? It's a load of pork that's been wanked off.
With knocker sauce. No, I am. I don't know. I think there was the point. There's been different points, haven't there? Like when in the early noughties, when we discovered Rocket, that we went mad. Do you remember when we first found out about Rocket in this country? We just put it on fucking everything.
Oh, yeah.
They still do it, don't they? Where you can get a pizza and then they just pile it with Rocket. You're like, oh, that's not a meal, is it? Yeah. Just piling it with Rocket.
One of the chains did a really wanky thing of cutting the middle out. Yeah. Taking the middle of half the pizza out and just putting a pile of Rocket
and
there.
And then putting a salad in the middle.
Yeah, for people
that made me viscerally
having a miserable,
angry.
Miserable yeah. life yeah. to choose that. And that is, if anyone's like, no, actually, do you know what I mean? I actually enjoy restriction. Actually, personally, I just enjoy it. Be like, well, do you remember those pizzas? Because fuck you. No one enjoyed that.
If you're taking the middle
of a pizza.
If you're taking the middle of a pizza, maybe you don't want a pizza.
Yeah. And if you only want half a pizza, eat half a fucking pizza, take the other half home, have a lovely time tomorrow, for fuck's sake.
Don't I'll
you
have
go,
a
no, still give you the 12 quid. I just want half as much fun, really, and to come away sad. Just prefer to come away sad.
Yeah, I do remember
Rocket
those times.
Was a thing, but this is the saddest thing I've ever said. But I wonder if part of Rocket's success is that it just does last longer than other bags of leafy greens. I buy it when I'm like, I don't want to go to the shop again in the next few days. That will be fine by Friday.
It's
you know
true.
What I mean?
It does not Scott wilt, does it?
Do you
wilt
it after?
Oh, yeah, I eat it. I don't just look at it and hope it stays pretty for a week. Anything sort of faddy that you think's overrated, Chicks?
Caviar.
Oh! Okay, go,
I don't
go,
see
go,
the
go,
hype
go.
About it. It's disgusting.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love fish eggs.
Again, bad branding. It's good you're not in food PR, Jen. Tugged pork. And fishy eggs. You know, a bit of Russian fish egg.
Cod roe. Yeah. Or roe, I quite like.
Yeah, I think it's delicious as well. I don't think I'd want it every day or something. But... yeah, it can be really nice, but it's a lot. Again, it's some of those things that I think objectively, of course, you could not like that.
Yeah,
there's loads understand. Of foods that I think, oh, I love that, and I 100% understand why you'd loathe it. Right down to eggs. I think I totally get it why people don't like eggs.
I totally get why people. I love eggs, but if I even examine what an egg is, I'm like, oh! But you know, when you start thinking about what is this? Oh, where has it been?
When I did this podcast with Jenny Eclair, she kept calling them chicken periods, and I was like, you're going to have to stop doing that. I know that's what they are, but it's for the same reason we don't call it tugged pork. Stop calling it chicken periods, please.
How do you have your eggs, Jen?
I like eggs any which way.
Yeah.
I like them poached, boiled, fried, scrambled. I love them. I just love eggs.
Yeah. Favourite way?
Scrambled.
Scrambled, same.
Scrambled.
I'm going to say it, even to an actual food wizard, I think I make really good scrambled
good
eggs.
Girl. How'd you make your scrambled eggs?
Okay. thanks for asking. An interesting thing has happened. So I'm not with my kid's dad. We get on very well, and we co-parent well as a team. And his dad has a terrible way of making scrambled eggs. And his dad has taught him how to make scrambled eggs his way. And now he's not interested in learning my way. And I would say things had been going pretty well in terms of the old divorce and co-parenting up until this point. This will be the thing that breaks it. I'm going to get me a lawyer. No, because he has like the most laborious but shit result way of making scrambled eggs. You put them with some marge in a microwavable bowl.
No!
And then you do them and you whisk them with a fork, but then they're in and out of the microwave every 10 to 20 seconds.
No.
So you don't even get to relax. You don't even get stick them in the microwave and get to fuck off for a bit. You're in and out of the microwave every 10 to 20 seconds. No, I agree. Yeah, just hang out down a Premier Inn breakfast buffet if you want a load of cardboard, not even yellow scrambled eggs. I do it. My nana taught me. I go big on the butter, and it's got to be proper butter. That goes in a saucepan. In a bowl go the eggs, and if you're lucky and bougie and you're not trying to make it like go extra far, it doesn't need any milk or even just the tiniest
no.
bit of milk. If you're like, there's two of you but you've only got three eggs, you can do a dash of milk if needs be, but ideally no milk. Whisk that up, and then the butter's not allowed to start burning, and then eggs in low heat, stir the fucker constantly.
Yes, exactly how
and
I make
the other
it.
Thing is you take it off that heat and you serve it up when it looks like it's not quite done, because it is, and it keeps
slightly
cooking.
Sloppy.
Yes.
I use
oh my god, I feel like I might have just started a cold.
I use clarified butter instead of normal butter.
Ghee.
Yeah.
Tell me, and I'm so sorry for being so ignorant, what's clarified? What's been clarified about? What's that mean?
Don't judge me if you get this wrong.
No.
You get the butter.
Yeah.
You boil it for a while, so all the milk solids settle down to the bottom.
Right.
And then when you cook with it, it's got a higher burning point, so you don't get the butter solids.
Amazing.
So it doesn't matter if it starts bubbling.
It's great
for
roast potatoes.
So you've not put the milk in even from the milk content of the butter. It's a milkless scrambled egg.
Exactly what it is.
Oh my god, I want to try that.
Tastes delicious. Really rich.
And you can buy ghee.
Yeah, you get it from everywhere.
You can buy vats of it. You can buy big tins of it.
Yeah.
And it's not.
Take it home.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Just get your favourite butter and just put it on low heat and
watch me fuck that up. I killed three sourdoughs, chicks. Start clarifying my own fucking butter. Delicious. Nothing else to eat? Would you eat a person?
What part?
Any. I've left it broad on purpose. So. Is there any context in which you'd probably have to have a bit of a person?
If I was in... What's that movie called? Is it Alive? On a mountain, if I was in that situation, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Jen?
I think that's the only time I'd have a bit of tugged pork. If it was life and death, I'd be like, oh, fine. I'll eat it just this once.
Are we all watching that Yellow Jackets? No, all right. I'll be cutting that bit from the podcast. For God's sake. It's a Sky series. It's like Lord of the Flies, but with teenage girls, but cut between them. There's a plane crash.
Oh, right.
And, it's on the theme of would you eat a person? It's really good. Watch it and then we can fucking talk.
I'll challenge it on.
Sky. On TV. Right. Miriam, oh, this is a new question. Again, I'm not... Okay. Miriam Margulies has a raw onion for breakfast, like an apple every morning. In up to three words, how does that make you feel? You don't know. I don't know. That's a lovely three words, Chicks. A sort of scared-eyed, I don't know.
She needs help. Really bad breath. I don't know. I mean,
really, I don't know and really bad breath.
Yeah.
I think that Miriam Margulies is a living human piece of treasure. But the only reason I'm happy to have one of her eating habits as the butt of a question on this podcast is because she said no to doing hoovering, but she has done off menu, so fuck her. Probably has something to promote. So, tell me about a time where you ate something out of awkwardness or embarrassment or politeness.
Okay. So I was round at my partner's parents' house, and they had just moved, and so they had a new cooker, and they had a new oven, and she'd made these dumplings to go with the meal. Right, it's the first time she'd used the cooker, and we were eating these dumplings, and it was like, it just tasted like...
Were they the sort of dumplings that go on top of a casserole type dumpling?
Yeah,
or were they like
they were dumplings in a casserole. Yeah. So we're eating this casserole, and it... it was like eating like bleach or something. It was toxic.
Oh, God.
And I didn't know, because I didn't want to be rude.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was eating them. And I, for whatever reason, my partner and her dad hadn't sat down to eat, or they came in a bit later. So I was halfway through this meal. Anyway, then Chloe, my partner, starts eating it. She's like, dear God, Mum, what is this? This tastes like toxic nuclear waste. She was like, what the hell's going on with this food? And I'd eaten half of this. Hang on. Is it nice? It's lovely. Anyway, it turns out that when you buy a new cooker, you're supposed to do something to it. You're supposed to switch it on and get rid of all of the chemicals in it before you use it, before you cook in it, because otherwise all you're doing is putting the chemicals in the dinner. So I'd eaten half of it.
Oh, Jen.
And I didn't have the heart to say to her. And she went, she was like, oh, does it taste of the chemicals? And I was like, not at all.
Don't ask me.
I mean,
don't
we're 16 me, years I later, I would have said to her, sweetheart, this has got to go. You need to change this.
Yeah, I love it. Shakes.
How old was I? I think it was 2017 we went to India. Not 2007, 2007 we went to India. And we went to go and stay down uncle of an uncle of an uncle, some weird relative's house. And since we got to his house, he's been harping on about this chicken that he makes. And he said, I can't wait for you to taste it. And like two or three days after, we sat down for dinner and he made this chicken. And I was really excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. And then it came out. It was me, my cousin, my sister, my mom, my auntie, my uncle. We're all sitting around and we were looking at it, and it came out and it was green.
I
looked
good
at my sister and I said, what the fuck is this? And like, she was like, I don't know. And he said, look, he just kept on saying, I can't wait for you to taste it. Then I was like, we were all looking at each other. Everybody from England was just looking at each other. Like, I took a little bit out and we all put it in our mouth at the same time. We all looked up like this. It was like I couldn't stop heaving. Like,
oh,
I wanted to yak up.
No.
It just tasted like pure green chili on boiled chicken. And it was like hideous. And I was like, literally, I think about it now, I'm going to wrench.
No.
What was he like?
But he was looking at us thinking, smiling like he's flipping delicious.
Oh, no.
But like, we couldn't tell him that it was horrible, but like literally I took a couple more bites and then literally went upstairs and I actually think I made myself sick.
I was going to ask, did you tuck it underneath the armchair?
So I should have done.
Yeah.
But it was awful. Yeah. He was still going on about it after we'd like finished dinner. I was like, did you like it? I was like, yeah, it was nice.
God.
Didn't go back there again.
Well, so. Here's your scenario. An absolute twat of a wizard invents a new hormone which makes people so smug that eventually they physically implode and sort of have a prolapse of the soul. From extremity of smugness, if someone hasn't already murdered them, not unreasonably because of their smugness, it's the weirdest and grossest apocalypse ever. But luckily you, and weirdly it does have to be you two, agree to read aloud all of L. Ron Hubbard's Mission Earth series. It's 1.2 million words, it's long, in English and then Spanish for you, Jen, all whilst clicking and hip swinging continuously to the instrumental soundtrack of the Encanto film, which actually you all entered the room to today with no breaks for snacks at all. This is the bit I'd like you to do rather than me. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. Just one man did that. thank you. You do it. You're a hero. You manage it. Your reward is the adulation of all people for all time. You've saved us from a really smug, disgusting apocalypse. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Now, this is the opposite of a last meal because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. You're high as a kite. You're starving because you didn't get any snack breaks while you're doing that great big epic thing. I'd love to know if anything was possible, couldn't give a flying shit about consequences, ethics, anything, what would your fantasy feast be if you were the happiest and the hungriest you can imagine being?
They have got more elaborate, haven't they, since yeah. I don't...
I really have.
I think I'm about to say what I said last time I did.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, let's just get it over with. Come on. So I would always have, if you were going to ask me, my ideal thing would always have oysters.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, Jess, I love oysters. So I would have, not six, I would have a dozen.
Yeah.
I'm not sharing them.
No, good.
Sorry, Chiggs, you're not getting any.
Yeah.
I'm slamming those down. Raw, lemon, maybe a bit of Tabasco.
Yes.
But that's it. That's all I need. And
Jen and I have the riskiest pre-Edinburgh Festival ritual of going just before a month that really is quite important for our careers for the most dangerous of all foods, oysters. And we have felled several friends year after year, but have both so far, touch wood,
we're fine, and
right.
They get food poisoning.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Sorry, oysters, yeah. Yes.
Native.
Yes.
Native oysters. And then I would like a Malay seafood curry.
Yes.
With just the fluffiest, nicest jasmine rice, followed by some kind of mango pudding or something.
Maybe a couple of those hand-pulled Malay chicken noodles on the side.
Holy macca fucking roni. Why didn't I think of that? They're in there.
They're in there. Get them in there. And
the chicken noodles are back.
Yes.
And I'm not really, you know, I don't
know. What
are you
really drinking, McDonald's milkshake?
And a chocolate milkshake. No, I'm having some nice boozy wine. A lovely bottle of nice white Sancerre.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
Wow.
Yeah. Chicks, take your time.
I'm Hindu and I'm going to get cursed for saying this, but I want some Wagyu beef. Sorry, Mom.
Oh, I love to hear it. Oh, I love a bit of podcast sacrilege. It's what podcasts are for.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd have some of that definitely with some nice seasoning on it or something, whatever. Just nice and simple. And then maybe a bit of pizza.
Great.
Mum's lamb curry.
Yeah.
And then some chocolate pudding kind of thing.
Chocolate pudding's the way to go.
Gotta be chocolate.
Not, rather than fruity, you go chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate all the way. Like a chocolate ganache tart thing or something like that.
That you've made, I hope.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And then a nice bottle of that Chateau, what's it called?
Neuf du Pape.
I don't know if the one Chateau Pap Pap thing.
Chateau Pap Pap. Can't go wrong with a bottle of Chateau Pap Pap, actually.
Yeah, that's it.
Fucking lovely. You have been extraordinary guests. Please, a round of applause for these.
Who else is reaching for the marmalade and Gouda crumpets? And who else is desperate to try scrambled eggs with ghee instead of butter? Me. I am. So much so, actually. I am going to try both those things this week, and I'm going to document that for my patrons and only for them. audio for some of it, and maybe for my add to my scraps bin, or my recipe rewards. I think I might add it to my recipe rewards and pop them in the guest recipe section for all my patrons. And if I'm feeling brave, I might even make a video. I know. Anyway, follow those brilliant guests. Chiggs is on Instagram as @thelatebloomeruk. He's also got a book coming out soon. Soon you'll be able to pre-order it. Keep an eye on his Instagram to find out when. Jen is going on tour exactly the same time I am. None of our dates clash, so it's absolutely the law. You must go and see her too. She's on Instagram @JenBristerComedy, and her new show is called The Optimist. Follow the podcast on social media @TheHooveringPod. Follow me @JessicaFosterQue. Come and see me on tour. Come and see me do Wench in Edinburgh, or from September till December, all around the land. If you want to give the podcast any pennies, go to patreon.com/TheHooveringPod. Links to everything I have mentioned are in the podcast notes. Anything longer than a tweet you want to send me, if you want to find links to where to buy tickets to see me do stand-up, go to my website, jessicafosterque.com. Anything interesting mentioned in the podcast or any of the things I've just listed are, as ever, in the podcast notes wherever you got this podcast from. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering!
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.